Well, we'll maybe do this. We'll everybody turn to 2 Timothy 3. I get used to this one. 2 Timothy 3. I mean, 2 Timothy. Yeah, 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17. There's some more people we're going to minister to in a little bit. Like he said, if you want to leave, go ahead and sin. Just go ahead and leave and, you know, be out of the will of God. Just amen. No, amen. I'm just joking. Amen. But it may go a little, well, I know it'll go long. Because when Craig comes to my place, he goes long. I'm telling you what. That's why we said, ying. All the people said, are you having him back? Oh, he went long. No, they love him. They give him a big shout out the other night, didn't they? Yeah, I know they're. They're merciful because they listen to me. Hello. All right. Well, Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for what you're going to do with your word. Let us hear what the Spirit of God has to say to us. Amen. Y'all ready? All right. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, let me ask you. I'm going to just tell you this. I'm going to ask you questions. Okay. I'll ask you some questions because God, if I can accomplish one thing today to put some questions in your mind, that it would spur you to go look at the Bible even a little deeper, I've done a good job. And I know God's going to deal with some of you about some issues in your life, and that's good. Thank God he's merciful. He just doesn't let us alone. Hallelujah. All right. Verse 16, 3, 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, as Paul was speaking all Scripture, what Scripture was Paul talking about? The Old Testament. They didn't have the New. Do you know what? You could live off the New, off the Old Testament and survive. The early church did. But you know, there are people that try to separate the two. Now, I ask you this question. How do we know that the New Testament is real? How can we prove that the New Testament is real, what Paul said is real? Because, see, there is two groups in the world right now. There's the Mormons, and there's the Muslims. And you know why the Muslims have what they have today? Because Muhammad said God's done with the Jews and he's done with the Christians, because he looked at the church and said, that can't be God. And so he came up with his own Bible. The Mormons did the same thing. They, you know, I don't like this. So we come up, so then they'll say, well, this is the Word of God. This is, you know, I just met with some Mormons, and they said that, you know, the thing that John Smith, he wrote that, you know, that's equal with the Word of God. I'm like, no. And then I asked them the same question. I said, how do we know that the New Testament's real? Because it came out of the Old. Paul referenced, Peter, everybody that wrote, referenced back to the Old. And there's a guy in our church, he said he went to a church, and the preacher said this. He said, I read the New Testament, get all my sermon stuff out of the New Testament. And he said, but I don't read the Old Testament, I just reference it. Well, if you're not reading the Old Testament, then you will not view the New Testament properly and will minister it wrong. Glad y'all like that. Amen. It's true. That's why people get their crazy views of the Bible. And see, it's been for ages where people tried to separate the old from the new. Because and I'm guilty, I'm telling you. I used to look at the old and say, I don't like God. He looks unjust, the way he treated people back there. I like the new because Jesus looks a lot nicer. you know, I like him a lot better. So, you know, God, I don't know about this old thing. I don't know what's going on here. And so I ran over and stuck with Jesus because I liked it because he seemed to be a lot nicer. Then I got the revelation. And Jesus, you know, the disciples were saying, show us the Father. And they said, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Oh, I said, well, God, you must be okay then. You know, you must be all right. You know, you're... See, my theology was off. And a lot of it had to do because of the way I was raised and stuff. But so anyway, then I get this other revelation. Okay? Jesus is God. Well, God is Jesus. So everything God did in the Old Testament, Jesus agreed with 100%. So it's my perspective that was off and not God. Huh? Now, you don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read this one little scripture. Hebrews 4:13 says this, nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is asked and exposed before His eyes. And He is the one to whom we are accountable. Now, let me throw you out some... Oop, I can't do that. Let me throw you out some numbers here. David Barton, I don't know if y'all know him, but the other night I was watching TBN and he threw these things out and I was like, amen. But he said this, and he does all these numbers, and he's a real... He knows the history of America and all this kind of stuff. But he said 60% of Americans attend church, and they say it isn't... Most of them say that it isn't relevant, and most of them don't apply the scriptures to their daily lives. 250,000 have an abortion every year. We have a 20% divorce rate, and the heathen are lower than us, and then agnostics, those that don't believe in God, they have an even lower than us. That's exciting. Then the 60% were asked this question, do you lie? And the response, they got three different responses. One, oh, they were asked, do you lie on a weekly basis? And people responded this way. They said, yes, because we don't want to hurt our friends by telling them the truth. Two, they said, it's just small ones and it really doesn't matter. Then here's the one I was like, oh God, help us. Lying is a sin, but that's why Jesus died to take care of it. Now, 20%, 27% of the church are practicing homosexuals. Hello, you're like Jesus. And we went to the prayer meeting in Nashville. And they were praying over pornography in the nation. They said, you that have pornography, come down. It got so bad that they had to stop everybody and send them back to their seats. Because the fire marshal came in and said, you're clogging up all the stuff. So we say 27. I can't imagine pornography. I can't imagine the statistics on that. It's like... Well, the thing is, see, we got this problem in church. And so I've been praying over the years, God, what is the problem? What? Lord, I don't get it. And the thing is, in our country, we have Bible 24/7, TV, all this internet mess, all this kind of stuff, and yet we've got these kind of things going on in the church, and I'm like, Lord, what's the deal? So he spoke to me, and he said this. He said, it's because my church is not accountable to me because they don't know me, and they think, as they should, they don't know me as they should, and the fear of the Lord is a stranger to them. So I found out my number one goal in ministry is try to get people to realize they're accountable to God, whether we like it or not. Mike Bickle, when he was... Y'all know Mike Bickle? Okay. IHOP. He's a general in the spirit. But anyway, Mike Bickle, in his young years, had a vision. He was taken to heaven. He stood before the Lord, and he heard this voice said, you're saved, but you've wasted your life. You're saved, but you wasted your life. Therefore, there's no rewards. Well, when he come back to himself, he's like, yeah, he's like, well, it so shook him and did such a work on his heart that he said, God, I don't want to waste my life. I want to do exactly what you tell me to do. Because when I get to heaven, I don't want to hear you've wasted your life. And see, the truth is, we'll not only be accountable to God when we get to heaven, but God tries to do things here to let us know we're accountable to Him here now. He'll do things in our life to try to get our attention. Boy, it's quiet in here. Hello. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Now, on the way up here, I got cards that I pray. They're scripture cards, and I pray. When I pray for people, I pray the Word of God over them because that's the best way to pray. And the truth is, I can pray in English about 5, the most 10 minutes maybe, unless the Spirit of God gets on me, then I can pray longer. But most of the time, I'm like done. I don't, you know, Lord, I'm... So I figured out that if I pray the Word, that's better. So I'm praying over people and driving up here praying over, speaking, and I come across this scripture, and it says this. 2 Corinthians 9:7, let each man give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or of necessity or of compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now listen to this. This is not scripture, this is me. Everyone chooses what they are going to do with the money God has given them. Every one of us gets to choose what to do with the money God has given us. And so what we're going to do is we're going to talk today about being accountable to God concerning your money. Woohoo! Isn't this exciting? Hallelujah. Amen. And so, now if you get anything, get this. What you do with your money reveals what's in your heart. Okay? What you do, if you can get anything out of this, what you do with your money reveals what's in your heart. Okay. All right. Make sure I'm at the... God's so good because I didn't have scriptures, and then I found another teaching, or I left some notes in my Bible, and it was on there. I was like, Lord, you're so awesome. Okay, turn with me to Matthew 6. He's awesome. God's awesome. He puts things together. Because we're going to get into some revelation about money. Because we need to be accountable. We need to be accountable to God in everything. Amen? I am trying to hurry, y'all. Here he says, Matthew 6:19, and we're going to read through verse 24. Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor dust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. How do we lay up treasures in heaven? Anybody? Two chicken? By being accountable to God. By being accountable to God, or just being obedient. What God tells us to do with our money, we're just obedient with it. We just do it. How you lay up, see how we lay up treasures in heaven, the only thing we can give God is obedience. It's the only thing we can give. We ain't got nothing else to give. The only thing I can do that gives something to God is my obedience. Here, God. Yeah, everything else comes from Him. The only thing He left, see, we all got a choice. The greatest gift that God ever gave any of us is choice. We get to choose. I know Jesus, God, but I'm telling you, we get to choose to love them. He might have drug us into the kingdom, but we finally got the revelation. Oh, I get to choose to love you, God. Woo, this is awesome. Okay? And he says, verse 21, for where the heart is, there, for where your treasures is, there your heart will be also. Let me just throw this out. What we do shows us who we are. What we do shows us who we are. And here's the thing, because I was thinking about this. See, God gives everybody money. Well, we might not get very much, but everybody gets money. So God tests us with money to see where our heart's at and to reveal to us where we're at. Listen to this. He goes on. Now he's still talking about money. Verse 22 and 23. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore the eye is good, the whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? When we are accountable to God, or we trust and obey Him, the way we perceive things will be full of light. But when we don't trust and obey Him, we become full of darkness and our perception is off. If we want right perception, we have to obey God. Otherwise, it gets cut off. We start to walk in darkness. Then he goes down. And let me just say this. I have been off. My perception has been off. Oh my gosh. Too many times. But what would bring me back is because God's so merciful that He would deal with my heart, show me something, I would repent, and then all of a sudden, boop, oh, I see. Oh my gosh, I was in darkness. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. I think in the Bible he says mammon three times. What is mammon? It's a spirit that rests on money. All money has a spirit attached to it. See, your money talks to you. Do you ever notice that? There's been times when they said, let's take up an offering. And I'd say, Lord, what do you want me to give? And he'd throw me a curveball. Because I kind of, I'm going to give this much. And then God would up the ante. And I'd be like, and that money would start talking to me. Oh, you can't live without me. What you going to do? You're going to go broke here. You give this. Your murmurs, So money talks to you. They ever talk to you? Amen. There's because there's a spirit attached to it. So the question is, how do we get the spirit of mammon off our money to turn it holy? Okay, let's jump over to Luke 16. Luke 16:10-13 says, and he's basically going through the same thing, but he changes up some things. Jesus changes up some things. And he says, he who is faithful with what is least will be faithful in much, and he who is unjust in what is least will also be unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true riches? What he's talking about here? Eternal inheritance. He's talking about eternal inheritance. God's saying, if you're not going to be faithful with the money I give you here, I'm not going to entrust you with the true riches in eternity. I know it doesn't. I know it's not. I mean, I didn't write the thing. Then he goes on, he says, verse 12, and if you haven't been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? See, God has an inheritance for each one of us, but if we're not faithful with what's another man's, God won't give us the inheritance that he has for us in heaven. See, unfortunately, there's going to be people to get to heaven, and here, because our final destination is here, we have an inheritance here. And so when we stand before Him, God's going to say, I had an inheritance for you here, but see, like Israel, remember? They had an inheritance. They disobeyed God, and guess what? They didn't go in. They didn't get their inheritance. Well, moving right along. Verse 13, no servant, it goes back, no servant can serve two masters, for either will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So what's God saying? You can't serve the two. Don't work. When I ask you to be obedient, and that money talks louder than what I'm talking, it won't work out. Well, there'll always be this contention going on. Then we'll go down to verses 14 and 15. And he's down. I want you to notice. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, remember what Jesus said, if you love me, obey me? Well, if you're obeying money, who do you love more, Jesus or? Just thought I'd throw that out. Amen. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all the things, and they derided Jesus. They derided him. And they said, and Jesus said to them, you are those who justify yourself before men, but God knows your heart, for what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. God looks at things differently than we do. Amen. Now here's the thing. When we aren't accountable to God, we'll begin to justify ourselves. People do it all the time with money. I can't give because then I might go broke, or I can't afford to. Can't afford to obey God? See, here's the thing. God's just looking at your heart. God, like God needs our money. You know, when they were building the temple, he said, you guys, you know, thanks for the effort, and I told you to do it, but let me just say, that thing ain't nothing compared to what I got and what I make. And so basically, when we come up to these things, God's just trying to show us what's in our heart. I know it's exciting. So the question is, how do we make money holy? Or we could say this, how do we get the spirit of mammon off our money? I didn't know this till a guy preached it. I was like, ooh. What was the difference between Abel's and Cain's offering? Remember, Abel brought one, it was acceptable. Cain brought one, God said, ain't working. It wasn't acceptable. Now, I used to think it was because Abel brought him some lambs, and so he liked, God liked the blood. You know, not. Because we bring him different offerings all the time. Amen. Thank God the blood offering's over too. Thank you, Jesus. So anyway, if you read the Bible, I read it again last night just to refresh my memory. If you read it, it says Cain waited for a while. And see, what happened was he saw that God was blessing Abel. Because he was, the Bible says he was bringing his first fruits. See, he was giving, the first thing that Abel would do when God would bless him was offer, bring an offering, tithing to him. Cain said, well, I want the same thing, so I'll just bring the leftovers. God said, it's not acceptable. Our tithe, 10% of our money, we should give that to God first before we spend our money. I got a guy in my church that comes by and say, in fact, he did the other day, come by and said, here's some money. And I said, well, you could have waited till Sunday. He said, no, because if I wait, I might spend it. I said, amen. Because see, I give him some tapes on money because he's going through some money issues. And I give him some tapes. And then he come to me repenting. Oh, dumb. I said, it's good. I didn't know either. God had to teach me. You know, we don't know everything. It's, you know, the thing is, when we know it, when we find out, then we got to make the adjustments. And that's where most people miss it. They don't want to make the adjustments. Especially with money. Dear God. So when you tithe with your money, it becomes, the rest of your money becomes holy, and that spirit gets off of it. Turn with me to Malachi 3:8-11. I gotta look. I haven't done this in a long time, Dr. Cooper. Where I actually got I usually have all my, you know, printed out, but I didn't have a computer, couldn't do all that mess, and so I had to actually go through the Bible. Whew. Man.